Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. As semi-usually on Fridays, I'm joined by my buddy, Rich Rebar, at Lord Reebs from sharpfootball.com. Not a super fire last 2 weeks of me in picks. One of my favorite picks last week I had on the show, which was the Chargers over the Jags, but did not have that in my column on Roto Experts. That one stung a little bit because I felt pretty confident that the Jaguars are toast. Rich, how have picks been for you? I think it's been 3 weeks since you've been on the show.
Yeah, 3 weeks. We had, I thought maybe I wasn't allowed back on because I think we both went 3-2.
It wasn't 5-0, so it wasn't good enough.
So I thought I burned my last bridge. But yeah, man, we're here mid-December. You know, we're trying to get to the finish line. I'm actually physically dying inside, and I tried to expedite the process. Today I had cheesecake and Red Bull for breakfast.
You went full Nate Noling. You went full Nate Noling.
I'm just trying to expedite my own death at this point, and try to get to the finish line.
Dude, it is insane how bad my health is during football season. Like if I get to the gym 4 times in a week and like and find a way to not postmate dinner like one night, I'm just like, this is a win.
Absolutely, man. Especially now, now that like DoorDash and, you know, or whatever you have in your area, you know, to bring food to you is that's like a slippery slope this time of year for us in our profession where we spend a lot of time at the computer, Dude. Spend a lot of time at home in general. It's really hard sometimes for me to just say, you know what, I'm just gonna order something, have it brought to me.
Yep. Yeah. Even if you go out to go pick up the food, sometimes it feels like a win, honestly.
Just physically like, going to pick it up.
I had a buddy in town this week, so we left the house to go get breakfast. We like went physically to a location and go get it, and I was like, this feels like a win. This feels like a good thing that I did today.
Yeah, I'm accomplishing. The day is mine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So the reason we have you on, though, of course, is to we're gonna pick games. We are going to do our 5 most confident games against the spread. I got to say, not a ton of games that like mega leapt out at me this week. This was a week where I felt like most of the lines were, I guess they're always right, but I didn't see one where I was like immediately that I disagreed with. So, you know, maybe I don't have a gold star, you know, lock of the week style mm-hmm. pick this week, but a few that I really like. So I will let you start with your 5th most confident pick.
I was going between like three games for this one, and they're all similar lines, right, where they were road dogs giving less than a field goal or three or less. Road favorites, I'm sorry, giving away three or less. I wanted to at least pick bold flavors with one because the other ones involve bad teams. So I'm going to go with my fifth pick being the Buffalo Bills over the Seahawks, or over the Steelers. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to go with the Bills. It's like, so when you look at they've been one a great bet all year. They're 8-4-1 against the spread. They've got a bunch of quality wins on their resume against good teams. Where the Steelers, their offense is still just a joke. I mean, even last week, they can't even really effectively move the ball on a team like the Arizona Cardinals. Over their past six games, they've scored a touchdown on 7 of 71 drives. That's under 10%. It's by far the last in the league. Their defense is just kind of bailing them out. Against this Bills defense, which is legit, you know, they even hung around last week at the Ravens. I just don't have confidence in the Steelers having one quality wins really on their resume, and then two, their offense being able to really score any points. It's going to be a gross game. It's probably going to be 13-6, so like 13-10 or something. But I at least wanted to pick, you know, a team that involved, you know, a good opponent.
Yeah, I mean, so I think if this game was being played in Buffalo, the line would be like -5 probably. So, you know, if we are just thinking that home field advantage just doesn't matter that much, like, you know, what's the use? I do think, like, dude, Duck Hodges can't possibly be a quarterback who should be getting points, right? Like, it just that just shouldn't be a thing. It's got, like, that has to be the case.
Like, I mean, he's like funner to watch than the alternative that was Mason Rudolph, which is really weird because Mason Rudolph wasn't that guy in college. Like, he was awesome.
I mean, he wasn't awesome, yeah, but he was fun.
But he threw the ball downfield and, like, did stuff. Like, he is, like, the lowest ADOT in the NFL, like, when he was a starter. It was all his yardage was all yards after the catch. He was just – it was pathetic. And it's just crazy that Duck Hodges, in his low level of baseline performance, has just made him look so much better. But it's really such a low-level bar that was set.
Yeah, dude, Duck, he just lets it fly. And he runs a little bit, too, which we got to like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I have the, as number five, I have the New Orleans Saints -8 is where I got it at. I think it's moved to 8.5 or 9, depending on your book right now. I'd probably bet this to 9.5. At 10, I'd probably, at that key number, I'd probably start leaning Indianapolis. But my key thesis here, New Orleans, very good offense, very good defense. The Indianapolis Colts seem to not have very good of anything. Like, I think people got pretty hyped on Jacoby Brissett early on in the season, and they had some good results. I think Brissett through 5 weeks was actually led the NFL in passing touchdowns, and things have slowed considerably for the Colts in their offense since then.
Yeah, I like that one. As well. I mean, the Colts have just been just really struggling down the stretch here. And, you know, a lot of injuries have played a part too. Hasn't really helped them. But defensively too, they've also just been significantly worse. I mean, the Saints are hot. Apparently just Drew Brees is really great against everyone but the Falcons. Like, I don't
just
really
that,
know
that
what the
game's just got to be. It's just got to be one of the most random. It's just got to be one of the most random.
He's been great in every other game except for those two Falcons games. It's just been really one of the weirder things.
Maybe they just know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. But, yeah, I definitely like that call as well. I expect the Saints to dog walk the Colts.
Yeah, I think that they were a team that was, like, built around, like, that defensive identity, that ball control offense, and that just, you know, that really only goes so far. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, your number four pick?
All right, I hate to do this to you, but it's going to be the Rams.
No, this is bad of you. You're going with Jared Goff as a road favorite, bro?
Well, I don't really – the road splits don't really matter to me. It's I mean, his pressure, non-pressure stats are all I really care about. And Dallas is a team that can still pressure the quarterback. But Dallas, I mean, they're paper champs. They're now 0-6 against winning teams, 1-5 against the spread. They're only 1-5 against the spread because – Jason Garrett decided to kick a field goal in that Patriots game to get us that cover when they should have went for a touchdown to try to actually win the game.
You love that great Jason Garrett as a coward cover. That was pretty awesome.
It was amazing because that was one that you picked that week too on the show. You had the Cowboys. So he fell on that sword for you.
He did it for. Well, I mean, they could have just won outright, but instead he just chose the coward cover.
But they're also – we just got two teams trending in different directions too. I mean, the Rams have kind of turned their season around. They've won three of their past four games. They've also been a hot bet on the road. They're 7-1 against the spread in their past eight road games. And then when you look at the Cowboys and this their performance, you know, these past stretch here against productive defenses, and the Rams defense is really good and has been good since they've kind of reshuffled things in week seven. You know, Dak Prescott has been a disaster. He's gotten there, like, from a fantasy sense the past 2 weeks. But, I mean, he's been awful the first three quarters.
I cannot believe I'm letting you on my podcast and letting you disparage Mr. Prescott like this.
He's been awful the first three quarters. All his production is in garbage time, all fourth quarter. He's got 353 total passing yards in the six quarters, one through three the past 2 weeks. 336 passing yards in the fourth quarter those weeks. I mean, it's just two teams going in different directions, man. And plus, I just want to watch the NFC burn. I want to see people melt about, like, a 7-win team hosting a playoff game against the 10-win team or 11-win team. I'm all for that life and people tilting over that.
So this is why I disagree with you. Dallas is, despite all of that, the biggest sample we have of them this year is they lead the NFL in yards per play on offense. And I still think that offense exists despite Prescott being so horrible when these games have been close the last 2 weeks. And this is if we want to get into the narrative a little bit, this is the backs against the wall game, right? Because if they lose this game, that
no
means
one
that
rallies
that,
the troops like Jason Garrett.
Oh, dude. So that's where the narrative falls short. The narrative falls short on this is the backs against the wall game that this Dallas team has lost every year for the last 5 years, pretty much. But it means that if they lose this game, it means that Philly game is like a playoff game, basically. And I don't know. Like, Dallas can – they're going to win at home. They are going to win this game.
I also just partially wanted to pick this game to have you talk about it too.
Yeah. Like my thing is the Dallas roster has got to be one of the five most talented rosters in the NFL. I think that that's true. And if they can just be decently coached, if they can just be league average coached, they should win this game by a touchdown. So that's the basket. This was my number three pick, was Dallas. It's I mean, you could have got this number everywhere. You could be holding this ticket anywhere from Dallas minus three to Dallas plus two, depending on when you bet it and what book you bet it at. I actually think this is going to get to Rams by three by Sunday morning. So if you're one of those people that is all about. If you like the Dallas side, I would actually probably be waiting to bet this because it has room to move more. Yeah,
100%.
Okay, so my number four pick again is just it's just another one of these favorites, but it is Philly minus four. I know it's moved now, but Philadelphia's horrible. They're all banged up. The defense isn't very good. But I mean, Washington's actually probably the worst team in the NFL, I think.
Like yeah, Dwayne Haskins.
They got nothing, man.
Every time I do like to start writing the worksheet and everything, and I've got all these, you know, all these spreadsheets that run like all these QB metrics and stuff. I'm like, it's so crazy how much symmetry is next to every Dwayne Haskins name pops up next to two names and every single thing. Every time I pull up something, whether it's per drive or anything, like all this stuff, it's Josh Rosen and Luke Falk. It's Dwayne Haskins, Josh Rosen. They're like always like the three in a row.
And yeah, they're just layered really, right there.
I mean, he's just so bad. Like, I'm not a QB scout and I don't know anything about scouting QBs, but when I watch the Redskins, like, he's just so slow to do everything. Like it just feels like his like internal clock and like urgency just doesn't exist like on any level. It's just really wild. But I like this game a lot too. For on your side, I mean, the Redskins have just been terrible in division play. They've lost seven consecutive games to NFC East teams. They're just 1-6 against the spread in those games. And the Eagles have won, you know, five consecutive games against Washington. Doug Peterson's kind of owned them. Like, he should have been, because they've just been a better team than them and not really laid up. But so I like that side a lot. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, man. I mean, he's not the quarterback next year, right? Like, what do we think if they like?
They ruined it though. They're not going to get the number one pick.
Well, the Giants. Are the Giants going to win any of these? They play the Giants still. The Giants could beat them, maybe.
I think the Giants, spoiler alert for my next pick, I think the Giants lose outright to the Dolphins at home this week.
All right. Well, that was my next one, so we could.
Yeah. So Miami plus whatever number you got. I think this. Mm-hmm. I think it opened at 5, as if the Giants should be favored by 5 over anybody. I don't know if the Giants would be favored 5 over Samford College. I think Washington. I think they mess themselves up by, because they have 3 wins, right?
Yeah, or 2. 3-10.
Yeah,
3-10.
So they can't get Burrow. Burrow is going to go to Cincinnati. So
they would pass on the other guys, you think?
What they could do is they could draft Tua, sit him out for a year while he recovers from his hip injury, and just be like, what does Haskins have anything? Okay, like with a year mm-hmm. of practicing as the starter, knowing he's going to be the starter going in, what do they have with him? And if he's fine, they can do what the Patriots did with Jimmy G, which is you draft him and then you trade him. I don't know if Washington is forward thinking enough to do that, but
we know they aren't.
That would be the Frisco Josh method.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Like I said, it's just so funny that his name just pops up next to Rosen and everything. And I'm just like, oh, he's about to get Rosen.
I mean, I think that more teams would be intelligent to do that. Like
I agree.
Like Arizona, think of like, yeah, they're not going to win that many games this year, but with a different, like with a better roster next year. I mean, they could win 8 games, and they would not be in that spot with Rosen at all. They would still be a team you felt horrible about if they had Rosen.
Yeah, I mean, it's the jump, right? So, like, 2 years ago, Mahomes was the guy. He made the jump. This year, it was Lamar. Like Kyler's the best bet, right, to, like, make that – if you were to pick one of these young quarterbacks to make, like, that type of jump, like, we'd pick Kyler, wouldn't we?
It's going to be – it's, you know what's going to be crazy is that if – Cleveland gets this stuff figured out, like if they get a good like Baker's career is either going to go one of two ways. He's going to go the Sam Bradford route where he gets 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years and he just is a turnover machine and never figures it out, or they keep the coaching staff and they just kind of figure it out over the offseason, and he goes, you know, and he turns into like fancy Jake Plummer, which was kind of like always his destiny. Mm-hmm. And like that's a good player. And yeah. I feel very, despite the horrible results of this season, I still feel pretty optimistic about Baker. Baker, to me, is a guy who could take like a Mahomesian leap because he's got all the skills. He just Baker kind of has the Jameis syndrome where he just like he's just like, dude, if I throw an interception, I don't care. I'm trying to get this ball.
Well, Plummer was like that too. That's how Plummer was. I mean, yeah. Plummer had that same gene, that Cutler gene, you know, that. You know, well, I'll turn it over here, but I'm going to make that throw again.
I mean, I would so much rather my quarterback be that than be the Rodgers thing. Because like Rodgers, he just is basically disqualified from ever winning close playoff games now because he's not willing to take the chances.
No, I mean, that's one of the things we talk about when people talk about it. Derek Carr is another similar guy in that realm where we talk about, you know, great stats, completion and turnover, you know, he has the high completion percentage because he has that Bradford gene where he just throws everything underneath. So it's inflated. And then, you know, he also just doesn't take chances. So he never throws interceptions. I mean, Rodgers' second favorite target is the sideline. Like, that's throws a Davante Adams in the sideline. That's like who the two people he throws the ball to. And I love it too because we somehow still manage to slight Aaron Rodgers on this podcast, like we've continuously done every time I've been on.
I'm so over him. And the people who were like Rodgers for MVP, I like nothing tilted me more.
It was
guys like the 13th best quarterback.
We've covered it on this the show, that whole stretch of games and when that happened. And what's crazy is, I mean, there's still people backing Russ for MVP.
He's
been dormant for like 2 months. I mean, there's no way Lamar could even lose the MVP. He could not even play the next 2 weeks. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I think if he got hurt, he's still – and they lost. I mean, actually, what's funny is if he got hurt and they lost the next 2 games, that'd actually be good for him, like for his MVP.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way he can even lose it at this point. It's already over.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of forgot.
I gave out your three.
Okay. Yeah. So my three was
Dallas,
Miami. Oh yeah. And then my next one is Miami plus 3.5, which is what
and that's my three right now. Yeah, and Miami's my three as well. You know, the Dolphins, they've been underdogs on 15 straight games, but they've been literally the best bet in the NFL. Over the past 9 weeks, they're 7-2 against the spread. If you've just been betting the Dolphins every week at the points, I mean, you'd be breaking. You're killing right now. And then the other side is the Giants.
But I bet crazy. No one bets them. Like, I bet they just get absurdly low ticket numbers, that's why it stays.
I've been betting a lot of Dolphins overs. I've been betting I bet the Dolphins over 3 weeks in a row, and then last week watching those teams kick 10 field goals and it fall 4 points short was just so maddening. You know, they combined for 10 field goals in that game. It was killing me. But I've been betting their overs a lot because the offense has been good since Fitzpatrick took back over, and they're good in garbage time. You know, they hit against the Browns, they hit against the Eagles, and then last week, like I said, it was just Jason Sanders fest. But the other side of this too, the Giants have a running trend that is completely horrendous. Like, why would you back the Giants? Since the start of last season, the Giants are a league worst 2-11-1 against the spread at home. And they've covered in just 4 of their past 12 games as a home favorite. So, I mean, I'm going to keep just riding those two ongoing trends. One, I think the Dolphins are probably just a better team at this point.
I think they're straight up. I think they have the advantage at most positions over the Giants on both sides of the ball.
And, you know, both of these defenses are awful. They're terrible. So, I mean, it could be one of these fun games, too.
Giants just cut one of their starting corners today.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins got released. And what's funny is I had the tweet that Janoris Jenkins had actually been playing well. Since week 5, he was the number 3 cornerback in quarterback rating allowed behind Stephon Gilmore and Richard Sherman over that span. So he had been playing well, too. So he's out the door. I'm gonna take the Dolphins and the points. You're getting more than a field goal, too. So don't feel terrible even if they lose.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting through the key number there. And, I mean, the thing is about the Giants is that they're a horrible team trying to be good. And when bad teams try and play well and they try and play like they're a good offense, there's no trick. Like, the Giants, they don't run trick plays. They're not running pre-snap motion. Like, they're running, like, the Pat Shurmur 1997 offense, and that offense is not very good. And the Dolphins are doing the exact opposite. They don't care. They're doing all the stuff, all the things.
Well, they're playing Laird, too. That's the most important thing.
They are Josh and Laird to the people. They are.
Yeah, you're betting money on Laird is what is the important story here.
Yeah, yeah. Take all the overs on Patrick Laird props this weekend if you can get them. That's the move. Okay, so my number 2 pick is the Houston Texans plus 3.5. I know that they just got boat raced by Drew Lock at home last week. We gotta have a short memory, and you know what? My memory is very long on Ryan Tannehill being bad. I have many, 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 many memories of Ryan Tannehill not leading the NFL in yards per pass attempt. And Tennessee minus 3.5 has got to be the squarest bet of the whole year.
I like the game total in this one. I think that's what the way to play it is to go game total.
Oh, yeah, because both defenses suck.
Yeah, and it's been hammered. The Titans are, since Tannehill took over, they're 5-1-1 against the spread, but all 7 games have gone over. They've averaged almost 55 combined points per game over those 7 games. And part of that is because they've been, you know, scoring a ton of points. Only the Ravens have scored a touchdown at a higher rate per drive than the Titans, which is what a world to be in at this point. And, you know, like you said, Tannehill's averaging 13.4 yards per completion. Like, that's bonkers. Like, what is happening right now in this realm that we are in this season? It's been a weird season too. I know we say that every year. This season's had a lot of weird stuff happen. It's especially for, you know, we occupy like a fantasy world, and like it's been a really weird fantasy year, because it's basically was if you went zero, everything was the strategy to go in fantasy. But Tannehill,
yeah, just actually don't draft any players until like the 8th round, other than Christian McCaffrey, and you're pretty much locked in.
I mean, there was like 4 good players taken in the first 2 rounds this year. It's just like.
And one of those players just got ruled out for the rest of the season, Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really crazy. It's been one of those weird years. And, like, if you'd have told me that we'd be here in week 15 talking about Ryan Tannehill being legitimately, like, the hottest quarterback outside of Lamar Jackson in the NFL, I don't know, man. You couldn't have sold me on that. You couldn't have sold me anything to buy into that, and here we are.
Correct. Yeah. Like it really is insane. And so my thing with this line is that there's public perception really steaming into this line both ways, which mm-hmm. is Texans coming off of the boat racing against a bad Broncos team, and Tennessee just steamrolling a bad Raiders team. And I think the truth is probably that they are about the same level of team, and Watson is better than Tannehill. I'm gonna go ahead and feel confident in that one, that Watson is a better player than Ryan Tannehill. So I actually feel pretty comfortable with this line. So what is your number one?
Well, I have two still.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, your number two first.
So my number two, I think I can go either way. It's like 1A, 1B, but I'm just going to stick with two things that have been doing me right all season, and I'm not going to break trend. So I'm just going to bet the Chiefs against a divisional opponent.
Love it.
I mean, so since 2015, the Chiefs are 25-3 record straight up against divisional opponents, best in the NFL. They're 20-8 against the spread. That includes 4-0 in both categories. This season, they've dominated the Broncos under Andy Reid. They've won 8 consecutive games, 7-1 against the spread against the Broncos. And there's a lot of double-digit lines in all these spreads. There was just one in a spot a couple weeks ago against the Raiders, and they covered mightily in that one. Plus, I think that, you know, we're going to get Drew Lock, and he was good last week, but it was a bad defense, like we talked about, a horrendous defense. He's going into Arrowhead, which is a typically terrible place to play. And the Chiefs have been hot defensively. They have a lot of touchdown on just 4 of their 32 opponent possessions over the past 3 games. That's 4th in the league over that span. The only hesitance I have a little bit is just how nicked up is Mahomes at this point. Feels like every game he picks something up at this point. But
literally, the guy, he's like the Black Knight right now. Like, he just every game the dude is like. And I mean, this actually goes back to last year too. Like, there were 3 times where he'd get hit and he'd start limping around. You know, he just, I don't, like, it is very scary if you're betting on the Chiefs for that to be a thing. But I also do kind of believe that, like, he hasn't had that nuke game yet. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, I guess the Raiders game, right, where he had those 3 long passing touchdowns. But I just, like, in a very narrative way, like, I kind of think that there's just another one of those games where he just looks like a total magician, like, and it's sitting right there, and we haven't seen it yet. And it would be very cool for it to be this game, because I also like this at minus 10 a lot as well.
Listen, if we don't get Mahomes v. Lamar AFC Championship game, and somehow, like, the Patriots end up, like, favor falls their way, and they get the 2 seed, and then they end up hosting, like, someone like the Steelers in week 2.
Or the Bills.
Like, and they end up playing a team where they only have to score, like, 15 to 18 points and winning a game like that. Yeah. You know that's going to happen, too. I already see it happening. And they're in the AFC title game.
But I mean, they would be dogs against Kansas City and Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, though.
We've done the Brady thing. I'm not even throwing any shade towards the Patriots. I respect everything they've done, but we want Mahomes.
I'm throwing shade. Rich might not be.
I want Mahomes versus Lamar in the AFC title game. Give it to me.
I want good players instead of bad players. Like, I would prefer to have good players in the AFC championship game. The Patriots had good players last year, and then they're doing this radical strategy of trying to win with 0 good offensive players. Like Jacoby Myers getting key targets in, like, important spots. I don't think that's the way they drew it up.
That dude had a game last week. Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like maybe they could use someone like Josh Gordon, but then at the same time, Josh Gordon can't beat out David Moore in Seattle, so maybe Josh Gordon's just dust.
I don't know. The Josh Gordon whole thing is just a weird thing. It's that very happened this season. I don't think that we all know the whole truth. I can't understand, like, why they just let him go, considering the state of their offense. Maybe they were banking on, you know, Harry taking a further step than he has, but they don't even play that dude either. It's just their offense is just awful. Like, any team that they have to score in the mid-20s, I just don't know how they get there.
Defensive to special teams turnovers?
They almost got him. I will say this about them, and it's very rarely the narrative. They got hosed last week.
I'm not gonna. There's no way. Like they've gotten every call for 20 years. They're like, they get one call that goes against them, and the whole world goes mad.
I mean, there was several.
But I mean, KC already this year had one of the worst calls go against them, which was the goal line fumble that was turned into a 100-yard return touchdown, where he was clearly down. Yeah. So I'm not gonna go ahead and join that one with you. My number one pick, though, I bet you can guess it.
I'm not sure, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff on the board here, so we can go either direction. You might just keep fading the Jaguars. I don't know.
Cardinals getting 3 against against the worst coach team in the NFL.
So that was one of my like tiebreakers on the 5, but I didn't want to. I thought it was like I wanted to at least have like a bolder take. So, but this was one of the ones in contention. So,
yeah, it's just like this game, I think probably should just be a pick 'em. Like that would be a very good old fashioned pick 'em game, and it's not. But I really do think that would be like the most optimal line would be for this game to be like Browns by 1 or a pick 'em. I just, what have the Browns done to deserve being a road favorite? You know,
we were just in this spot 2 weeks ago where they went to Pittsburgh and they were giving 2.5.
Like what? You can't even like teams that are this bad coached, you can't make them 3-point favorites, 2.5 max.
And they've been a horrible bet all year. Betting on the Browns, they did come through last week, but 4-8-1 against the spread. Just not a positive bet altogether. And they've struggled against mobile quarterbacks this year. You look at the rushing lines: Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh Allen. All those guys had a little production. I think we can get Kyler up here. I mean, it's just like you said, though. It's a team that has really kind of – they're circling it. And, why bet on a team like that? Not that the Cardinals aren't circling it, but with you, though.
I mean, the Cardinals, though, like, they are – I think they are a better team overall than their record and their yards per play. Like, I do – like – if you play this season 100 times, this has got to be a bottom 10th percentile outcome in terms of their like red zone performance. Like what's funny is that the only team that's been worse than them is the Browns in terms of getting into the red zone and converting those into touchdowns. So it's like, it's just like two, like this could, I could see this being like a Giants or a Jets Dolphins game where we just get crazy amounts of field goals on both sides.
Yeah, it very could be a Cyber versus Gonzalez battle.
Yeah. All right, man. What's your number one?
Like I said, my top two, I'm just going to keep betting things that have been profitable all season and have long ongoing trends of making money. So I always bet Russell Wilson in 2 spots when they're at home in prime time. And if you bet it Monday night 2 weeks ago, you were good. That consistently held true. They're now 19-2 at home in primetime games since they've had Russell Wilson. The other spot where they're really excellent is on the East Coast with Russell Wilson. Since 2012 when they drafted him, they're 18-6 in the Eastern time zone, 16-7-1 against the spread with 6 consecutive wins and covers in those games. The Panthers are one of these teams like the Jaguars. They're completely done, and they're not trying to hide it. One, they've already fired their head coach, so they're not trying to hide it. But since their bye, they're 1-6, 2-5 against the spread in those 7 games since the bye. And they've just been getting, like I said, just walked up and down the field by teams. And this is a team that lost to the Redskins, which we talked about earlier, at home. And the Kyle Allen magic has completely run out. So remember, like, Kyle Allen's narrative was, he's not throwing an interception. Yeah, you see all these throws. He hasn't thrown any interceptions. Since their bye, they are last in the league in turnover differential. That is completely over and run its course. I don't know why we still haven't seen at least Will Greer, like, play at all, just to see. But I'm just going to keep betting on, Russell Wilson in that spot and keep fading the Panthers.
Kyle Allen, it will be like an injustice against the game of football if he is a starting quarterback in the NFL next year. He is one of the worst I've ever watched.
I mean, was there ever a like guy that was just built up by QB wins fall off so fast? Like,
I mean, I'm sure there has been an example. Like football Twitter just always does this with like young quarterbacks who win. We're seeing it with Drew Locke right now. People are not seeing any of the, or Hodges. Yeah. I mean, Locke is more prone to like go, being from a guy that someone is like, oh, this guy, you know, he can.
Oh,
he
that's
can,
true.
And, but because he is, when he's bad, dude, he's so bad. His like record at Missouri when his team was trailing by 10 or more points was like so bad because he just loves to force the issue. And he really, he, what's the scouting? He trusts his arm too much. That would be the scout take on him.
Yeah, he threw some beautiful balls last week. That's kind of what you get. That's why people fall in love, you know, with that. But yeah, I would agree. Like, yeah, so it's like, I think like, a lot of people probably don't believe in Hodges, so he's probably not a great example. I feel like that it's a minority that people believe he's an actual starter. But yeah, Drew Locke is a guy I think people could probably say, like, yeah, this could be like our legit future. Like, people tried to convince themselves Kyle Allen was. I mean, the Panthers dumping Cam Newton for Kyle Allen. Not that Cam Newton, maybe he's just physically hit a wall. And
maybe he's done, but you can't drop him for Kyle Allen.
Right. I mean, he might be done. The way the style of football that Cam Newton has played, he just might not be able to do that again at this point, you know, moving forward. But Kyle Allen is not it, man.
How bad do you think Will Greer's got to be at practice?
He's got to be horrendous. He was awful in the preseason. He was really bad in the preseason.
I mean, Will Greer has to be like Nathan Peterman level bad to have not gotten a week 16 start.
Yeah, I mean, especially at this point, just where, you know you're going to have a new coaching staff. Like, why wouldn't you just say, here you go, man, you got 2 weeks. Like, here it is.
I mean, seriously, he's got to be like a favorite to be like not on a roster next year. That's how, like,
I mean, that's what the Broncos did with Locke, because Locke wasn't a first round pick. Like, they didn't owe him anything. Like, he was a second rounder, but like, they didn't owe, like, he's not owed like this some kind of investment. They were just playing Brandon Allen, which clearly wasn't the answer, and waiting for him to get healthy. And you're just like, hey, man, like, they didn't care if it went bad, though. It's, you know, they've won these two games.
Kind of impressed by the Broncos the last 2 weeks.
I mean, I feel like other than just completely hiring what you had in a head coach prior and just like going
neutral
on that route. Yeah, yeah. I mean, hiring a defensive first head coach, just it's not really changing the culture and your team identity was not the right answer. But for the most part, I've defended like at least how they draft, you know, and how they allocate, you know, their draft capital, I think is actually more in line with how people like our world, like we believe is the proper way to allocate draft capital. They do a good job. It's just the picks have really tanked, and you know, they moved down. The Steelers moved up 10 spots to draft a, you know, an off-ball linebacker with the Broncos, and they moved down. Like, that's a good move. Like, that's just, right. Those are things we endorse. You know, and they draft their positional capital. They said you use it on positions we care about, but they just haven't hit on these picks because they're scouting or something is way off, and just there's
Sutton some... though. They hit on Sutton. Sutton looks like AFC West I guess he kind of plays a little bit like Calvin Johnson, just not as fluid.
Yeah, I mean, he reminds me a lot. Him and Kenny Galladay have very similar games.
Galladay, yeah. I guess that's probably the best very one. Similar.
Obviously, he has a lot more higher draft pedigree because, you know, Sutton had that monster, you know, junior year before he, you know, kind of took a step back.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're big clashers, you know, like they got that style play.
Yeah. All right, man. Tout the Sharp Football stuff to the people.
Yeah, Sharp Football Analysis. I mean, if you guys get in, they're running deals, you know, for the end of the season and then playoff packages as well. All the picks from the betting side, if you're listening to this for, you know, more of the betting picks, you know, Warren's been on fire, just absolutely slaughtering college and NFL picks the past few weeks, 11-1 week last week. So definitely go in and check that out. Check out my stuff there on the fantasy side, the worksheet, and we'll have some playoff stuff, dynasty stuff all coming off season. So hit it up.
All right, there we go. Everyone make sure to check out rotoexperts.com for some more picks, dailyroto.com for all of your NFL DFS projections. And we'll be back next week.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.